The following episode contains nudity, coarse language, and multiple Zoom technical difficulties.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to Ich Bin ein Hamburger on 93.0 FSK Radio. Today, you are joined by your host, Susan, and, of course, Clappy McStuhl.
Hello.
And a special guest from Manchester.
Hello.
James. And reporting live from the hellscape that is Southern California, we have Shervin the Pervin. And
greetings.
Yes. Yes. No.
Greetings from hell.
Yes. No. It's very nice to be in studio and to hear Shervin's lovely voice again as he's visiting family back in California, which is clearly going through some very tough times.
You don't
times.
Need to tell that. The government doesn't need to know.
No, it's for the listeners, dude. But yeah. No. It's.
You can nice tell them.
Yeah. Anyways, so Shervin.
Don't worry, I'm reporting live with my iron lung.
Yes.
With my gas mask ready to go.
Oh my god, yeah.
So it's Orange and Orange County.
It's, yeah.
Constantly.
Looking like Blade Runner 2049 over
it
there.
It was. Now it's just gray.
Okay.
Okay.
Now it's just gray. It's just gray county.
Is there any more ash snow, no. Or is the ash stopped?
It comes and goes. It kind of comes and goes.
Okay.
You know.
Can you go skiing on it?
Like
yet?
Now, it's a little bit less. Oh, you know it. I mean, God's. California has become God's ashtray at the moment. You know, while nature fucks us, it needs a cigarette after sex, right?
Oh.
That's basically what the entire state has become.
Wow.
We're a giant fucking ashtray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's really distressing. You know, as somebody who also comes from California, it just breaks my heart to see it. But you know, I acknowledge that being on the ground is much more emotionally stressful than me just looking at the photos. So, yeah. No.
Is everyone stressed? Is everyone feeling stressed?
It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Or okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I feel like people here are in denial half the time. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's exactly.
I think they're at the point where they're in.
No, it's like that photo, or the meme of like the guy, the dog sitting in the burning room saying, "This is fine." Like so many people who are just like, "It's California's always had fires."
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No, it's like
natural.
That.
It's part of nature. This is what it was like in Australia as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Especially.
Circle of life.
Yeah.
Especially boomers. Boomers,
yeah, exactly.
Here.
Yeah. Boomers.
Yeah. Like the boomers here, they don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't wanna go on a rant or anything, but
that's
we're
fine.
Fucked.
We're used
no,
to
you,
it.
You, you, no, you
we're
know
really
you,
why
you
you're here,
saying, you always say I don't wanna go on a rant and right before you go on a rant.
Yeah, it's a nice indication.
It's like
though.
The,
yeah.
Little trigger warning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, we're going to get back to you.
I'm not
going to
rant, but I got an opinion.
Okay, so Shervin, do you want to tell us what kind of burger you are? I think I can guess. But I want
sure.
you to hear it from you.
Sure. I'm like a fucking charcoal, just ash, remnant bottoms of the grill, garbage that all like
there's
the
like a cigarette button there too.
Fat, coagulated.
Yeah.
Cigarette butter that and then you just put it between two pieces of bread.
Mm-hmm.
But actually they're not even pieces of bread because you're living in a post-apocalyptic wasteland where wheat has become extinct for like 100 years because you can't grow shit. So you just been eating out of cardboard from the last old world where it's like a McDonald's cardboard box and that's all
yeah.
you eat out of. And you look
wow.
into the
very,
sky and
yeah.
you realize that the world's over. And
dude.
and that corona was actually our perfect balance and we didn't listen. The boomer remover disease.
Yeah, that was very, very vivid description.
Yeah, that was
you built
that's
a
visuals.
World around that. Yeah,
sounds
no,
like
I
a
can
happy
imagine. No, that was very atmospheric the way you described that. Yes.
Yeah, I really
thank
hope
that.
This cardboard box that you find would be a Happy Meal box. Yes. Would really set it off perfectly.
No. But yes, so
there's
James,
even a little toy with it as well.
Yeah. But anyways,
the toy is just more cigarette butts.
Oh. Oh, no.
It's Ronald McDonald made of cigarette butts.
Oh, dude, that would be a nice art piece, actually. Mm. Yeah, postmodern art. But yeah, so...
Somebody call Mr. McDonald.
No, but for people who are not regular listeners, one of the things we do when we first start off the show is go around and talk about which kind of burger we are. And James is our special guest today. And yes, James,
so
what kind of burger are you?
In complete opposition to Shervin's burger, I've spent the last maybe 4 or 5 days doing some nice nature stuff. I've been walking through the forests and the mountains down in Dresden. So I would say that I'm basically the opposite. I'm like the most pure, clean, fresh burger that you can imagine.
Made in some country
farm,
you know.
Like, no superfluous ingredients, none of this like toffee, candied, walnut, crusted, pulled pork crap on the top of it. Yeah. Just, pure burger. Lettuce, maybe a bit
delicious.
Of cheese,
nice
toasted brioche bun.
Yeah. Wow. Mm.
Maybe some ketchup and mustard if you're feeling like really fancy. But you know,
is there a big stick through it, like one of these classy?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, imagine the kind of burger that Gandalf would eat.
Oh.
Wow.
What would
maybe,
he eat?
Maybe I would go with
Do
that.
Do burgers exist in Middle Earth? My goodness. Or like one of the ones that you'd get in Hobbiton.
I mean, come on, they have like 7 breakfasts a day. Yes. Surely one of those breakfasts is burger.
It's actually a very basic concept, like meat with bread, you know.
Yeah,
it's
Yeah, it's not rocket science.
So yeah, I would say in total, a very nice, relaxed, basic burger.
I want to eat you. This is
this, I'm actually
great.
Getting hungry.
You
I want
really
burgers
sound.
Now.
A little bit of salivation going
sounds
down.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Yes. Clappy, what kind of burger would you say you are?
Well, right now I'm waiting to see if I got this kind of PhD spot that would involve me traveling to Berlin a lot and would have impacts on other things in my life. So I'm like a frozen patty.
Okay.
Where I don't know what type of it'll
so
how
it's already
it'll end
in
up.
A burger.
It's just held in stasis.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the it's a frozen deep frozen one that's just waiting in time to see what happens next.
Dude.
And then this will determine.
One time. I got
the future
a burger,
of the burger
where I bit into it and the middle was still cold. It was the most disgusting thing in the world. But no, I'm sure, I'm not saying that your burger is disgusting, but like, just the thought of biting into a cold burger.
A frozen burger.
I mean, I got another one, but yeah, it was just like, you clearly did not defrost
this. A frozen, unthawed burger.
Unthawed burger. Yeah, I just bit into it and it was like the bun was warm and everything, but they just,
like a meat-flavored ice pop.
Yeah, exactly. It's a meat-flavored ice
meat
pork.
Okay,
that's what
anyways.
I am right
I did,
now.
Yeah,
that's what I am right
yeah,
now.
Meat flavored ice
You're not eating me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no,
just
I didn't.
Just gotta wait a second.
You gotta wait a minute, yeah. You don't know. So for me, I would say I'm like a burger that's, so like the patty is a bunch of leftover meat that's kind of been ground up and refurbished and turned into a delicious burger that's like made from all these wasted ingredients where it's like old meat. They just grind up and they just put some like, sauce in it and stuff, dress it up a bit, and put it between a nice brioche bun or like, sesame seed bun. And it's like delicious and new, and you would never guess that this burger had been through so much before. Because
I'm re-burgered.
Yes, you take this like meat that you think is gonna be thrown out, and you just grind it up and add some like soy filler to it, and it's just as delicious. Because I'm moving into a new place and I'm moving on up. And I'm doing good.
It's the circle of burgers, no?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Susan was chewed up and spat out like not that long ago, and now I'm
rebirthed.
I'm
reburgered.
Yes.
She's a reburg.
Yeah.
Been reburged.
Yes, exactly.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Easy. So, next up, I think we should do some coronavirus news updates. Yes, reporting live from Gangafiertel. The most up-to-date statistics as of the 13th of September, 2020. So, as of the 13th
of September...
Destroyed
the live smoke stream. We're not live this
13th
time.
Of September 2020, there were 948 new cases in the whole country of Germany, and only 11 in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
So not so bad, right? And
it's going down, right?
It's going down. Okay. It's going down. Like, there was a peak, a little mini peak, where I think there were 2,000 new cases a day, like a week ago or a week
yeah,
and a half ago.
Yeah, it was about 2 weeks ago or something, I think.
Yes,
now.
And now it's back to, you know, kind of, you know, less than 1,000. So, yeah, that's definitely progress, I would say.
But everyone's still good with their masks and following
They've
the
actually,
rules
I've noticed
and...
that since they started making the announcements on the train about, like, please cover your nose
yeah.
and mouth, people have started covering their nose and mouth.
So it's a very passive-aggressive thank you at the end
yes.
in English. It's like, over both your nose and your mouth, thank you very much.
Yeah. No.
It's like
oh,
a
man.
Teacher. Like, it
yeah.
really hits
Dude,
you hard.
Actually,
you're like, whoa.
I was reading this news story today about in... I think it was like Niedersachsen, or it was like in Hanover or something. That is Niedersachsen. There was a fight that broke out on the train of like this man who like confronted these two youths who were not wearing masks, and it ended in like a full on fist fight. And the guy who confronted him got beat with the phone on his head. Somebody took their cell and was hitting this dude on the head.
Like with an iPhone.
With an iPhone.
Oh,
using
wow.
an iPhone as a weapon.
An old Motorola.
Couldn't you have one of those,
I
really, like,
yeah.
yeah
I was just amazed.
Yeah.
There was apparently strangling involved. And actually all three guys, like the guy who confronted him and the two youths, were all charged with assault or like investigated for assault. Because I guess in Germany, like... if you get involved in a fight, even if you didn't necessarily start it, the
mm-hmm.
fact that you participated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different. But yeah, it
happened,
gets
it,
heated.
Yeah, it had, I think it was in Bavaria. Maybe there was a ticket warden that was beaten up on the checking tickets. And she
Whoa.
Yeah got beaten up by this guy who refused to wear the mask. And then he,
that's horrible.
Yeah.
People are a bunch of... Yeah, no. It just
yeah.
brings out some like crazy...
Anger, yeah.
Anger of just like, yeah, people who absolutely refuse.
Sherman would know all about that.
Yeah. But I, yeah, I don't know.
I'm at peace. I'm at peace right now.
Yeah, so what's it like with, is there increased prevalence of masks in SoCal, or the mask thing is not, people are not adopting
well,
this? Are they adopting it for the
we
fire smoke?
We have to wear
smoke?
It by law. Like, you have to.
Okay, yeah, right. Anytime you're inside.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I went back
okay,
to California,
well,
go ahead.
Let me just see if I can decide. I have to decrypt your entire message.
This is fucking
because,
fail. Oh my God.
Let me just get this straight. Did you ask me how the mask situation is there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Holy God.
Okay.
We have to wear it by law. It's like by law you have to wear it. Except it's not like. Where I am, I'm in Orange County right now. I don't think by law you have to wear it outside fully, but in LA County you have to wear it, and it's like $500 fine if you don't. If they catch you not wearing it.
Okay.
But I mean, it's like everywhere. But the thing is, like people here drive everywhere, so you don't really see a lot of people in the street anyway.
Sure.
And yeah, people just wear it, but the air quality is shit, so you don't go outside as much. And or when people do, they're just like they're living. I don't know. It's people wear the mask here, but at the same time, like, it depends on which age group you're looking at and how they react to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, some people take it way more
like,
seriously. Yeah.
I'm really trying to be as, like, not angry responding about this place and the people because I could just go off. But I don't know if the reality that I'm perceiving is the one that's the truth. Rather than just a relative perspective on my own viewpoints of
yes.
what I see. Do you know what I mean? Like, all I'm doing
is
relativity with the masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. No.
What did you say?
We said nothing.
I don't know. You just sound like you're muffled. You said nothing.
I said
okay.
nothing. You're hearing
we
things.
We can enunciate words very clearly.
I am enunciating.
Let's really enunciate.
I cannot enunciate my words more than I already am right now.
God.
Okay, let's go to a song.
It's not enunciating.
So, the wonders of technology.
Yeah. So.
Anyways.
I'm sorry, did you just say
let's go to
again,
a song, just Shervin, just clip from before? Just be quiet, please. Please be quiet. All right, so let's hear a nice song.
You be quiet.
You just be quiet. This is such a fail. You gotta turn the song off really fast. I have to introduce it again.
All right.
Okay, yeah. We got about to start.
Such a fucking chaotic episode. Okay, so.
Give me a little when you want it.
So, anyways, let's go to a song. This is Why Can't We Be Friends? Why Can't We Be Friends by War.
Okay. Now it's a bit better. Yeah. People just wear the air quality shit so you don't go outside. And I'm perceiving is the one that's the truth. I'm sorry, is the song over? Are we not doing the song anymore? The most fucking oh my god.
We're back. Yeah, so I guess the main topic that we were going to discuss for today's episode is, I guess, a classic one for this show because I feel like it comes up very often, but it's making friends in, like, a country that you move to where you don't know anybody, where you don't really speak the language, how you might feel if friends move away, move back home, dealing with loneliness during COVID. And, you know, it's a big topic, but, you know, all of us, I feel like, have experienced this in one form or another, and I feel like it's worth revisiting, especially after Corona and how, you know, it just got very, very dark and lonely, and, you know, it revived the whole video chat party thing, you know, which I never even considered doing before, but it was just every weekend, you know, we just wanted to see each other's beautiful faces, and yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the amount of people that immediately were doing Zoom calls every weekend, phone calls, all your friends, family, pub quizzes, all this kind of stuff, you know, it just shows that real desire of humans for connection.
No, we're social creatures, and like, yeah, it's very, there's a lot of evidence to show that, like, you know, people do not do well being isolated and alone.
No,
like, we need human contact. And I guess, like, maybe we should start off by saying, like, when you moved to Germany, how did you go about meeting people? For me, it was through university.
I'm sorry,
but, like,
song goes over.
Oh. Yes, Shervin.
Yeah. We're back.
We're back. Can you not hear what we're talking about? We're on the main topic. This is the meat between the buns, homie. Gotta get your fucking shit together.
It's the song over.
Oh. Oh my god, this is great.
Yes, I mean, like, I guess, you know, for me, the way I made friends was through university, and I didn't intend for this, but, you know, when you first move here, you kind of, like, hang out with all the people from your class, and you chat with everybody and give kind of everybody equal time, but, like, as time goes on, you find yourself gravitating more to certain people, and for some reason for me, I started off with a lot of German friends, but now most of my friends are, like, native English speakers or, like, non-Germans. Like, you know, I have Turkish friends and Italian friends and French friends. But, yeah, for some reason, I've always found it rather difficult to make close friends with German people. Maybe it's because they have their communities here already. And, you know, it's just like...
So in this situation, you met the German friends through the university course also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you then eventually gravitated towards
For some reason it just happened where, like, yeah, a lot of my friends that I actually talk to are American, Australian, English, you know, it's just like, yeah, Turkish. It's just, for some reason, it just happened this way. And I have German friends too, but when I look at the body of my friends group, it's just made up with
I think you will generally find this in these kind of situations where, of course, if you move to a new city, in this situation, you know, you move to Hamburg if you want to make German friends. I mean, realistically, if you meet people that are from Hamburg, they're going to have close friendship groups.
Of course.
And it's going to be much harder for you to develop these intimate is maybe not the right word, but these close connections with people. Because, of course, they have their close group of friends.
Yeah.
It depends on the age, it depends on the availability of this person, what they do, what do they work as.
You have to have a lot in common.
Yeah, of
course.
You
know, for them to go out on a limb and be like, you know, we really vibe on a deep level, like, let's hang out, you know. It's just like, you have, like, friends that you go out and, like, drink with, but, like, then there's the other friends that you, like, you know, go host a radio show with.
Yeah, so, invite them to a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, of course, for me, because my experience has been very much different from the experience of coming here if you were going to come as a university student, for example. Because, of course, when you move to a new university and you start a new course, you immediately have this big group of people who, you know, you have one thing in common with all of them. You're all interested in the same topic, no? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you study. So, of course, from my perspective, to come over here and work, and I work from home. I do home office. So, of course, like, this has been an all-encompassing part of my life for the last year of living in Hamburg. Because, of course, you know, if you move here alone, then you need to make friends, no?
Of course,
And did Corona had a big impact on your life in terms of that meeting friends part?
So, I mean, from my perspective, I was lucky in the sense that I had been in Hamburg for, a good 6-7 months by the time that Corona started. So I did already have some good friends here.
Okay.
I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like for anybody that would be in that situation of knowing no one. Imagine if you just moved to a city, you know, a month or even a couple of weeks before the Corona started or whatever. Imagine having to spend all that time completely alone. I think
it
would be
been
so terrible for people.
Psychologically
draining. Yeah. I mean, I was doing some research before the show. I was reading some stuff about loneliness. And this really...
While you're alone. Yeah, sorry. No.
while I was alone, yes. And I was very, like, so amazed to find that So 60% of people between the ages of 18 and 34 feel lonely.
I'm sorry, 60%.
Wow.
60%. Hot, what? Okay, in Hamburg or just in general?
Fact check, this was in the UK.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, hot diggity damn, that's a lot of people.
No fact checked, but I had been told that Hamburg is apparently the loneliest city in Germany.
It does have this reputation
That's so interesting, because I feel like so many, you know, like, I have developed so many, like, warm, close friendships here.
Me too,
but I can understand, because I've spoken to other German people who came from, you know, south of Germany and stuff, and when they moved here, they had more trouble making friends in Hamburg than they, as a native German speaker, than they did. It's like more clicky, I've heard.
Yeah,
it's more clicky.
Has this reputation you know.
It's hard to get in. It's hard to get in.
It's like once you're in, it's the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really... fruit analogy that I was telling you last time of the... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Californians are the peach that's really easy to get into, but there's a hard nut inside.
Wait a second. What is this? I don't think you told us this analogy.
Oh, maybe you didn't hear. I think I was telling you.
What's
maybe
this analogy with the fruit?
Yeah, so it's like, this is what the German told me. They're like, Californian... it's like a peach. It's like soft and gooey. It's easy to get to the inside, but there's this really hard nut that you can't quite get through.
What are you talking about?
When you get to the center.
Really?
Whereas he was like, Hamburg people are like coconuts, where like you really have to smash to get your way in, but once you're in, it's all gooey and nice and warm and friendly on the inside.
And I love my friends to be gooey. The gooeyer, the better.
Okay, so you're saying that it's harder to, like, break that initial ice with German people, but with Californians, we're very, like, warm and welcoming, but, like, to get to know us on a deeper level,
it's
like,
very
much more difficult.
Exactly.
I think that works.
No, I could see that. Like, it feels like, you know, like... I feel like for me, I've just been conditioned to be super friendly and open and welcoming, but like that's also a mask that I put on, and
exactly.
Like, you know, so anyways, so Clappy, how would you describe the process of making friends here in Germany?
Well, I got lucky, I think, because when I first moved here, like I lived and worked in a backpacker hostel, and the other people working there were all kind of Hamburg locals or had lived in Hamburg for a long time. And so just from that intense working experience of like all day, every day dealing with shit in the hostel and, you know, running the bar and doing parties and stuff, like you get this kind of intimate experience. But I think without that, I don't think I would have gotten these. They're like my best kind of, some of my best friends that are like German, but I don't think without that experience I would have made super close.
Yeah.
I have my flatmates who are both like from Hamburg originally, and I have those friends, but yeah, I don't think I've made any other super close. I think it's the clickiness thing, and I think there is there's also a wariness, I think, of people from outside when you don't have like fluent German. It's kind of, it's like people don't want to have to speak English in groups for like extended periods of time. And if you're Germans...
Yeah.
Pretty crap, then it's not that fun talking to you
when
you first
moved here.
It's that trade-off between trying to make friends with people while also trying to be interesting. You know, like, you want to make friends with people, you want to learn the language, but you can't just have these bullshit small talk conversations with people every day, which is the level that your German is at. If you went to a party back home get stuck in the corner with the guy who's just like, so how's the weather today? I mean, do you want to hang out with that person?
No. It's so frustrating because, like, when I, you know, I feel like my English is pretty good. Like, I speak English pretty well, and, like, I can express myself, you know, pretty fluently in English, but, like, I feel like a stupid child, like, just, like, can barely get a fucking sentence out and, like, describe anything that's more than just, like, the most basic survival German. And it's just incredibly frustrating for me because it's, like, I have the words in English, but, like, the way I'm saying it, it's a pride thing as well. Like, I don't like sounding, you know, like I can't fucking speak or express myself. So, I mean, I understand it. Like, you know, so maybe that's why I never really felt super motivated to, like, go out of my way and, like, meet German people and, like, try to, you know, make friends in German. So,
My first experience really... like, I have to laugh when I look back on it now. So, of course, I mean, I'm sure you probably know, like, the stereotype is that it's very hard to make friends here in Germany, no? Mm-hmm. Like, from an outside perspective. And I remember thinking, yeah, but they've not met me before. It will be completely different. I will charm my way in with my British charm. Yeah, yeah. It will be okay. And I remember the first move to Hamburg, and there's, like, this really nice little bar around the corner where I live. And I thought, okay, weather's quite nice. I go sit outside there. I'll have a beer. If I get talking to somebody, great. If not, then not. Mm-hmm. I get sat at a table with three guys, spend the whole night talking to them. Really nice conversation, funny, laughing, joking, having a great time. And then they're about to leave. And I say, oh, well, you know, as I told you, moved to Hamburg like yesterday. Don't really know anyone here. Like, I've had fun. You know, can we swap numbers and hang out again sometime? No.
Oh, wow. Damn. They just straight up were like, no dressing it up. Just like, no, I don't really want to. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, maybe this isn't going to be as easy as I thought. Very blunt.
Just like not even trying to like ease the blow a little bit. Just like, no, not really interested in seeing you again. No,
not really into that, to be honest.
It's fine. Okay. It makes the whole experience seem much more shallow, I guess, in retrospect. Like, you think that you bonded with these people and then they just... So, Shervin, building on that, like, how would you describe your experience of making friends here in the city? I mean, we started in the same master's program, so I imagine it would be the same experience as me. But, you know, you have a lot more German friends than me, I will say that.
Like, my friends in Berlin hooked me up with people here to live with temporarily, which kind of helped a lot to, like, settle in and live with Germans already. And then on top of that, like, once I moved into the student housing, that's where I started to like, so when you go to student housing there, they basically mix the Germans and the non-Germans together.
That's good. To integrate
each other. And I think from there, I met a lot of people. Like, for example, like, I have, like a couple friends from there that I like still to this day, like, one of them is a really close friend. And I met him through there, and like, he's German. And then I met his, you know, like, his girlfriend and everything. Like, so I became like close to them, and also met other Germans through that. But also, I don't know, remember Susan? Like, I also would host events quite often.
Yeah, I mean, like, you had a good party place, for sure.
Yeah, I was also very proactive in like hosting events, socializing a lot, up to the point where I basically burnt myself out from even socializing so much that like. And then, yeah. I mean, in the beginning, you do this, like, you have a spike of, like, okay, I'm gonna meet a lot of people. And then you kind of just, like, you know, you trim down the fat.
You find the people that you actually, like, you know, you have things in common with. Because, you know, everybody, within 5 minutes of conversation, you can, like, have a very pleasant talk. But, like, you know, if there's nothing there under the surface, then it just dies off. And that's, you know, it's fine. You know, you can't be expected to make friends with everyone.
No, and of course, you're not going to be able to have that deep level of connection with every person that you meet.
Right,
you
know? Exactly. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
but I think, yeah, I mean,
My ratio of German to non-German friends would be like 40-60 or 45-55, around there.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, okay,
that's actually very high. I have like maybe two or three German friends, so yeah, it's like, that's great.
I also wanted to ask,
are you able to still, so, you know, all of us are immigrants to Germany, have you all been able to keep in contact and like maintain friendships with people back home? Like, do you still have like close friends that you talk to on a regular basis back from when you lived?
Yeah, there? I mean, of course I have many, many close friends still in the UK. Of course, the distance does make things hard. Mm-hmm. Corona helped in some way, because of course people are just free all the time, so you're much more likely to give someone a call, and I think it definitely highlighted for people like the idea of, oh, maybe I should check in on my friend a little bit more often, you know.
I rekindled a lot of friendships that way.
Was a lot of people where you would just call them just to be like,
how are you doing?
Are you okay? You know? And I think this is something that we need to do way more often.
I do it occasionally.
With our
friends. I do it occasionally, but not nearly enough. And, like, I have a lot of very dear friends that I just, like, have been very lazy about. And, like, Corona kind of helped me be like, this is a good time to just, like, reach out and see how they're doing. Because all of us are lonely, you know? Like, a lot of us are all by ourselves, you know, or like quarantining with their partner and that's it, or like their housemate and like not seeing anyone else, and it's, you know.
Yeah, because I'm very, very guilty of this, where I will just tend to ring people when I need to talk to them about something.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
a plan yeah. or whatever. So yeah, I mean, it's very nice to sometimes just receive a call or send one out just to say, hey.
Exactly. Yeah, it really is nice. I appreciate it a lot.
I think it's very important.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about friendship and loneliness, and you know, you talk about like the number of friends that people have. I mean, humans, we're only really supposed to have, or we can only really hold about 100 to 150 close connections, I think.
Wow. This is what we're looking at before now. That's actually more than I was thinking.
Yeah, so apparently we can hold around about 100 to 150 connections, okay?
Yeah.
But I mean, you think in this day and age, especially say if you move to another country, surely you must have met more than 150 people through your life.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Know?
Sure,
through school, university, different jobs, different cities.
It also is, I would say, that number varies between people. Because for me, I don't think, I think I have maybe 30 or less than that, like, close friends.
Yeah.
You know, that I have, like, that I actually, like, feel comfortable telling, like, things to and, like, you know, being very honest and open. Like, you know, I have a lot of other friends, but I kind of put on a mask for them, you know.
For sure. Yeah, and it's just, like, This like 100, 150 number is not close friends. This
okay,
is
yeah, just, yeah, that's this what I was just
acquaintance included.
Yeah, I mean, this is just people that you're, you're
in contact with.
You can have some rapport with and be friends and like enjoy. Yeah, yeah, I totally see that.
And I think it's super interesting in this age of social media that we have now, in terms of, you know, you try to keep way more connections because people, you know, you scroll through your news feed, your Instagram feed, whatever, and it reminds you of people, and you think, oh, well, maybe I should message them and try to keep these connections going. Yes. And I think it puts a lot of pressure on people in some situations, you know?
Yeah, so it's one of the many ways social media kind of harms your health. Though, I mean, I did use social media a lot more during Corona, and, like, it did help, you know? I mean, like, just in some ways, like, I think...
I suppose in that situation, it's a case of, you know, if you go on social media, nobody else is doing anything either. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like pictures of people, like some of my close friends, like at home, just like in this
in
like
pants.
Nest in their couch, just like blanket fort.
Which actually,
exactly.
I really,
and
which
baking, a lot of baking evidence.
A lot of baking. Yeah, it's like a real thing that people were talking. There was like a New
a lot
York
of
Times
recipe sharing.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
yeah. Corn baking or pan. There's a pandemic pun in there somewhere. Yeah, I can't think of it now.
The fry pandemic. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because of course, you know, you have this whole idea of social media being this representation of the best part of everybody's lives.
Yeah.
But it was so nice to see, like, a bit more of reality on there in some way. You know, because people always put these pictures of them doing amazing things, but you're not doing that all the time.
Yeah.
90% of the time, you're probably at home scratching your ass watching the TV, you know?
Yeah.
And this is why I've kind of... I mean, social media now is kind of, for me, just using... like groups of different friends in their WhatsApp groups or Facebook Messenger groups. And I don't like, post anything or read posts on people's walls or have Instagram anymore. And I don't feel like anything is lacking. I think if I didn't have those chat room groups, something would definitely be like, because there's, you're like my close friends in Australia, like I'm still in these groups. So I feel like I know what's happening in their lives just from the constant chat that's happening.
Yeah.
But I feel like that kind of prepackaged Facebook wrapping or Instagram wrapping, I don't feel like that adds anything to my friendship well-being. So.
Yeah,
but I am grateful for social media for creating this chat kind of platforms.
Did you ever think about using, for example, like Bumble, the dating
app?
They have like a friends function on
there. Oh, I didn't know that.
So you can search for people that are also looking for friends.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. They even
have them for jobs too.
They do have a jobs one, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do the women still have to message the men first?
That would be funny.
For the friends
one
too.
Be like an affirmative action.
Yeah. Oh my God. Because that's the whole thing with Bumble, right? That's like their whole shtick.
The woman has to message the dude first
or message the other woman. I don't know how it works. Maybe it's just for straight couples, because that like kind of breaks down if you start.
But I quite enjoyed, so I used to use this app called Tandem, which is for language learning.
I've heard about
this
app, actually.
Where it like connects you with people who want to learn your native language and you learn theirs. But I just got sent many, many pictures of naked men on there, so I deleted that one.
Wow, dude. Yeah.
That's
so it's becoming like it's becoming like cross-cultural
dick pic chat roulette.
Yeah, that's so funny. It's like you just like don't expect like all these seedy underbellies for like certain apps.
I mean, like,
or certain communities are just like rife with people trying to like sell nudes and stuff.
I mean, like I, you know, I like to say that I'm not the kind of person that would send an unsolicited dick pic or whatever. But it was, you know, quite an eye-opening moment in my life to receive my own unsolicited dick pics for the first time.
Yeah.
How did you feel, James? When you
Violated.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least you got that experience now.
Yeah,
so
you know, like,
sympathy
not that I would ever do it, but now I definitely will not do it.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of, I've read, like, several articles that give, like, what you, how you should respond or, like, how you can, like, you know, what's the word I want?
Retort.
Yeah. Retribution.
No, I've seen a lot of these.
You know,
online,
like how you should respond.
Chat feeds of people, getting
to,
into
like,
you know,
or like you send
you
a dick pic back is like a good response.
Isn't it like teasing the dick as well? Isn't that part of it?
Yeah. If you just
like, wow, that's a small dick.
If you, or if you just
seen
put, like,
feet, I've seen
if
the images
put, like,
of feet
a laugh
like that. Not from personal experience.
I thought you meant like teasing it out a little bit more. You know.
Let's get that
that's
baby
what I thought.
Apple.
Let's get
no.
That's what I thought. So I was
and then this,
yeah,
is that all you got? Is that all you can get?
Yeah.
That's post tease.
Strain through that fly a bit harder.
Exactly.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's techniques, you know, because apparently it's a big issue in a lot of
But
on
I just,
Reddit
I,
and stuff.
Yeah. I just find you know it pervades into every aspect of internet communication nowadays, you know? Like, this app, come on. Like, does it get any more, like, you know, wholesome than wanting to learn languages from other people?
Yeah.
And
then
Scrabble
you just...
Scrabble Go is a thing
You know, and then you're just getting somebody, like, shushing over their shoulder with the message underneath that would always just say, like, sorry.
Wow. Yeah, I don't
know. I really enjoy
it. It is
this.
Really weird. Like,
sorry,
why?
Not sorry.
Why
sorry,
this?
Sorry.
Why this platform to like try to fucking, you know, find people who want to see your genitals? You know, because there are so many apps. Like OnlyFans exists now. You know, and you can pay somebody and they will
What's
rate
that?
Your dick pic. OnlyFans.
What's
have
that?
You never heard of it?
You've not heard of OnlyFans.
What's
so
OnlyFans?
It's a platform where people can, it's like a subscription-based service where you can sell your nudes and like
videos
and stuff, or
of
like
yourself,
you
or...
can, if for this amount of money per month, I'll like chat with you and send like dirty messages and like take requests for this amount, but it's like a subscription thing. So like to get like the basic package, it's maybe $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
there
maybe
are some
get
people...
like an ankle photo or something.
Yes.
But that's per person you're
per
paying
person.
For.
So some
yeah,
people
yeah.
make
So
bank.
I subscribe to James's OnlyFans.
Yes.
I don't just to qualify,
yes.
I do not have an OnlyFans account.
And honestly, I read somewhere that OnlyFans and
you're
these
losing
other
some cash.
Like,
yeah,
no,
maybe,
other...
when the recession really hits.
Yeah, that's how you know you it's the step before prostitution.
No. But I mean, yeah, it technically is sex work, but I mean I read an article saying that like these sorts of like streaming sites like cam girl sites or cam boy sites like OnlyFans and stuff like had a huge jump in volume after the lockdown, which makes sense because you know like you can't really like go out and
go out on
the town
on the subject of OnlyFans. I mean, it's actually very good for sex workers.
Oh yeah,
because
they get most of the money.
Because they get a huge percentage of the
exactly,
money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's safer.
And it's safer,
it's safer
of course.
In many ways.
You're just at home doing your own thing. Because
you have to pay to get the pictures. It's not like it's just out there. You know, it's like a subscription, and they subscribe specifically to you. You know, so it's like a much more personal sort of like, you know, you can talk and interact with your fans and stuff and, like, you know they're paying to be there and, like, you know, maybe you get, like, fewer shitty dudes like there are in these, like, other chat rooms of cam girls and stuff. Just, like, yeah. That's a hard job, man.
Full respect to anybody.
Yeah,
that
to anyone who's,
willing
to put themselves out there
full
like that.
Full respect for them.
And they're doing God's work because, brothels were closed for so long and they reopened. I was going to mention this in the Corona news, but very recently, I can't remember the exact date when brothels reopened, but there was
it's last week.
Brothels are finally reopened in northern Germany, so Hamburg, North Rhine-Westphalia, I don't know about North Rhine-Westphalia, but Mecklenburg, Pomerania,
It's I wonder like, how many clients will stick to the online, like, will not go back to physical
brothels. There's not really a replacement, you know, like, there's not really a replacement for, you know, actual meeting someone face to face, but I don't know. I my heart went out to the people who that was their income, you know, because I'm sure they understood why, you know, they couldn't work, but at the same time, you know, that's like their meal ticket. So,
yeah. And I read an article about like prostitutes trying the online thing, but it's just such a competitive arena and there's people that like specialize in it, so you can't just jump. Like, exactly. Convert your services into the digital world.
And you gotta get like a
overnight.
Camera.
Yeah, you gotta really get good at it, and it's
good internet connection, all of this other stuff. Yeah. You gotta like have a setup, and like, yeah, if you're already
like
in that
market. It's video production, really. Exactly. It's a different skill to.
No, it totally is. I don't know. Like, I there was in Portland, Oregon. This is not related to Hamburg, but there was a strip club that instead of, you know, because they couldn't have, you know, clients come to the place, they started delivering food and they called it Boober Eats.
Boober Eats.
Boober Eats. But they had to change it because Uber, like, complained. Uber Eats complained. But yeah, it was just like, Boober Eats. Like,
Boober Eats.
But yeah, no, they just found other side gigs and hustles and stuff. And I, yeah, you know, you gotta do what you have to survive.
My
I think
is,
they would show up in their outfits, like stripper outfits, and be like, here's your McDonald's, here's your welcome to Chili's, yeah.
My favorite is still that drive-through strip club where it's like, yeah, it was like a take-through thing where you wait to order your burgers or whatever, and then strippers come out because it's in this giant warehouse and they perform for you while
like
you're waiting for your
movie. Your car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
Like with like
that's
poles
great.
And everything, like full lighting. It was in some kind of like self-made warehouse, and it was just to encourage drive-through customers.
In the sense of, you know, like when you go to the drive-through car wash and it's like on
exactly,
the rails.
Exactly, it's like that.
And it pulls your car through on
that's
the rails.
That's actually amazing, yeah.
With like dancers all around
it. Was like,
you.
It wasn't, there wasn't
that
rails.
Like
oh, okay.
You keep driving slowly.
You know, I'm imagining that song in the background, like, it's a tiny, tiny mountain.
That's fun.
No, you can see videos of it online.
No.
Yeah.
But should we go to a song?
Sure.
Yes. So next up is The Only Planet by Molly Nilsson. So, we were talking about friendship earlier and what it's like to make friends in Germany, you know, not knowing anybody here or knowing people. Next on the program, we're going to just present a few useful phrases about friendship or words about friendship in German.
I
did some research.
And we'd like to do our German lessons. So
yes.
I don't know.
Yes. No. So Papi, take
it's about
away.
Us learning and everyone else learning. So the first one I got here is... Guter Freund kommt ungeladen. So a good friend comes uninvited.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I think this connects to this, I think the inside the coconut thing. Because I think there is this implied, you don't have to constantly say who your friends are, because once you're in this inner coconut circle, then everyone just turns up when...
Yeah, there's like, an understanding.
Yeah, I have to say, like, once you have made good friends with people from Germany, they're your friend for life.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I found that with my birthday, I was so surprised how I didn't really promote last year when the date of my birthday and things were happening. But then, all these, like, all my German friends here, they already knew and they were already like coming over, and it was just very like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like in Australia, it would have been more of me, you know, working out an invitation for the party and telling, reminding people that the birthday was happening.
Yeah.
But I found, the German friends are very good with knowing when everyone's birthday is.
Yeah. And I think that like some people, I mean, I have friends in California who will act like super warm and like super affectionate face to face, but they will I'll be like, hey, could I get help with like getting this thing moved or something? And they're like, nah, not really. Or like they'll just kind of disappear if things go badly. But like you wouldn't get that from a German person. Yeah, from a German person. It's just like very shallow level of warmth.
Of course.
You know, and that's what you mean about the peach analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
And it ties into the German language in a sense in that, you know, we use the word friend for everybody that we know,
mm-hmm.
in a sense, or at least especially in the UK. But of course, in Germany, the majority of people would be known as a Bekannter rather than a friend.
Yeah.
I've never even heard acquaintance. This word before.
Yeah, Bekannter. So someone Bekannter you know. Is acquaintance.
Oh, that's a good word to know. Yeah. German lesson, learning.
Yeah, so you know, in that sense, of course, like you would only consider your closest friends friends.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is also the confusion about girlfriends and boyfriends. Like when I first came here and everyone's like, mein Freund and ein Freund, eine Freundin, meine Freundin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, so how do you know when people are together? And then they're like, you just don't. I mean, often it's like they'll say meine Freundin for a girlfriend, but you can never be 100%
I've
sure.
Always
so I was always like, why don't you just like say it with like a wink when you say Freund? That would be easy. You don't have to change the language. You just have to give a little subtle.
Or maybe just a little slight raise of the eyebrow.
Yeah, exactly. Just
to,
like both eyebrows.
Yes,
I mean, it saves you hitting on your friends, you know, girlfriends.
Yeah. Right.
Like the secret code, you know, like one eyebrow for available, two eyebrows for it's complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. No, but I've heard that the most unambiguous way to say it, if you want to make sure they know that you're not like dating or something, is ein Freund von mir.
Yeah.
A friend of mine. Ah, I'm going to dinner with a friend of mine, not my
friend. Von mir.
But I think that's still like not indicating a closeness. Where I've heard like you still have platonic where you say like mein Freund, because they're showing they're a good friend.
If you use the possessive, if you use mein Freund, it always means your boyfriend. If you use deine Freundin, it means your girlfriend. But if you use ein Freund von mir, it means that literally, she's right, it's just a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they distinguish it. And then, or you could just say mein Partner or something, or meine Partner or something.
Yeah, that's not ambiguous
really
at all. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
They love their structure, because I sometimes accidentally have said to somebody, that's just meine Freundin, and then they're like, oh, so that's your girlfriend? I'd be like, nope, I met a friend of mine. We're not dating. And then they're like, okay, you know that's the difference. Sometimes then they'll drop that into you as well. So
right.
It's like, it really depends. Also, with age groups as well. You know what I mean? Like older people, they kind of like, I noticed if I use mein Freundin or, you know, like something like that, then they'll assume, oh, okay, it must be your girlfriend then. But that's just from my own experience as well. And also, you're totally right. I mean, what I found super weird with the birthdays was that in Germany, they also not only just like, we'll take it more serious. So like I remember I would be like, I remember I have birthdays and like, or like it would be near my birthday and I'd be like, I'm not really celebrating it. And they'd be like, but why? Like as if like, but like get your friends, your close friends, like it's an event for them to all come together and do it. While in the US, I feel like nobody really gives a shit. I mean, you can also see the stark difference, in my opinion, and I think it's like more of a sociological thing, where like you see the stark difference between individualism, rugged individualism in the US, and like more the collective mentality in Germany, where like friends in Germany stick together, while in the US, it's still like you have friends, but like it's really hard to find somebody to actually rely on.
It's a more shallow level of warmth, as I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, I've known people here, without saying anything, like, I've known people here in my past where, like, I could know them for 3 years, and they still wouldn't probably give me 2 minutes of their day just to, like, help. I mean, another example, for example, like, I have my family, one of my cousins here, he moved from Sweden to here, and he sees the, like, real, like, stark difference in behavior. He's like, Americans, like, they're your quote-unquote friends, but he's like, I would never, like, rely on them for anything.
Yeah,
he's like, and
Americans
it's just, like,
are totally
it's always,
unreliable.
And it's not only that, I wouldn't say underlying.
Sorry. Say like, this is a self-roast.
It's just superficial. Like, especially like in LA, forget it. Like,
you have your close friends, but I understand what you're saying. Like, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No, no, I'm not saying everybody in LA is like this. But yes. I'm saying there is a culture. I mean, I am from this area, so
no.
I feel like you're casting
a wide net, which is why I'm pushing back a little bit.
But that's fine. I mean, again, I'm from here, so I feel like
you're allowed to roast
it
all you want.
I grew up with the culture here. Mm-hmm. Like Southern California, LA, it's superficial. It's really, you can ask anybody.
I grew up in Southern California too for a bit, and yeah, I can attest to this. It's very
San
superficial.
Diego,
it's very
superficial.
Fake.
Like everybody, like people here, they're not really gonna be like. They'll be friendly to you, but they'll never really be your friends. That takes years. Like, you gotta spend, like, as much as hard it is to make friends in Germany, forget it. It's like 10 times as hard here to make decent friends because people here also have a cultural behavior too. You're my friend, but what value do I get out of you?
Yeah,
and I think that's also tough.
Yeah, it's less transactional.
I think that's why it's harder to get in, maybe like a status thing. If like, you want friends in high places or something. Yeah.
And I think that's why, like, allowing you inside the coconut is, like, such a big step because it's kind of like a relationship level of, like, that means that we're relying on each other now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a quite a big
It's that acceptance
big step.
Of joint responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like,
friendship, you know?
Yeah.
So, did we want to do another one? There's some really good ones here that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Very relevant to what we're saying.
So, Freunde erkennt man in der Not. So friends are recognized in need.
That's
so
what we were just
exactly.
saying.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
this is
yeah.
exactly what. So it's backing up our theories.
Yeah.
This is all
it's,
these
it's
proverbs.
Totally
German proverbs.
I mean, like for me, like during the pandemic, like the quarantine, I definitely realized like who I could count on, and like I think I realized who my real friends were. You know, which was like kind of refreshing in some ways. You know, it was just like. Yeah, when I was, like, going through something, like, there were people who were there for me and people who were just like, nah, not my problem. I like you when we're out drinking, but, you know, it's just like, I don't really want to, listen
I mean,
to you.
There's nothing like a global pandemic to show you who you can and can't
exactly.
rely on, no.
Yeah. So, no, that definitely was actually quite refreshing, and I'm much closer to those people now, and I feel like the pandemic actually brought me closer.
Separated the wheat from the...
Yeah.
So that, I totally...
You picked out your best Corona buddies
yes,
and...
exactly.
made sweet Corona friendship.
Mm-hmm. What's, like, the general Corona thing if it's just this giant reveal of the world, how it is and how people's lives
really,
are?
No, it really, showed us how...
And then we got mit einem Freund im Dunkeln, so with a friend in the dark... zu gehen ist besser als alleine im Licht zu gehen. So walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light.
Aww.
See, and that's why we're all in this together.
Yeah. Even if you're going through some shit, if you're not lonely and if you have somebody else you can rely on, it's better than, just being lonely and when things are good.
This one I'm not sure.
This
behute,
is kind of darker,
Behüte mich Gott vor meinen Freunden, mit den Fienden will ich schön fertig werden. God preserve me from my friends, I can deal with my enemies.
Yeah. So they have an English equivalent of this. The English equivalent to this proverb is, a man's worst enemies are often those of his own house, or a woman's, or a novella. But anyways, you want to continue?
Wenn ein Freund... I don't know this word. Bittet.
Asks?
Like, asks.
Asks.
It's like requests.
Okay, So gilt nicht morgen. So when a friend asks, tomorrow does not count. So you can't like, postpone helping your friends until tomorrow. Because it could be too late. You've got to be there and then...
No.
When they're asking for help.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an agreement, Like, this is, again, this is how you find out who your friends are. Because, like, you know, if I trusted somebody and I was really in a pinch... You know,
it's nice
to know who will come to your aid at 2 o'clock.
Which
in the morning.
Reminds me, I'm going to water your plants later, Sherman.
Yeah.
I hope they're not dead. This is
are
the
you?
Time to.
Oh man,
I'm going to water
my
them.
Plants okay?
I hope so.
He doesn't fucking know, dude.
But you can't,
he doesn't
as
fucking
as
know.
As the proverb says, you can't water them tomorrow. They need to be watered today.
This is how
don't
we break
water
it
them
to you
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No, we'll wrap this up.
Shall we just get that nice little water?
We'll wrap this up in a minute here and play us out a song, actually, unless you want to do another. Oh, God. Yes, but anyways, I think that's all the time we have today. We're going to have one last song here. And yeah, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next month.
Thanks for having
me on today. Yes, thank you, James. Thank you, Shervin, for calling in, and we hope you're okay.
Thank you, Shervin.
Yes. All right, bye-bye now.
See you from the apocalypse.